From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar. Some progress Thursday in fits and starts in the march towards peace in Syria. Russia's Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov and Defense Minister Sergei Shoigu met with Stefan de Mistura, the UN Special Envoy for Syria, in Moscow Thursday, as another round of peace talks began simultaneously in Astana, the capital of the former Soviet Republic of Kazakhstan. In an obvious reference to the Astana peace process, de Mistura said there was no alternative to the official UN negotiating process on Syria, which was held in Geneva. Lavrov, however, said he would listen to de Mistura's assessment of the Geneva talks with interest, adding, quote, "In turn, we will inform you about preparations for the next round of talks in Astana," closed quote. Representatives of the UN, the US, and Jordan are also participating in the Astana peace process, which was reportedly set to complement the Geneva process. This was Russia's Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov in Moscow Thursday.
As you perfectly know, over the last years, the activity on the Syrian front has increased. We have the Astana process. 1 year ago it started, and it's been developing under the umbrella of the three guarantors, Russia, Turkey, and Iran, with the observers from the U.S., Jordan, and with representatives of the Demistura's office. Today, with satisfaction, we can say that we, directly from Moscow, are ready to say that Stefan de Mistura goes to Astana to hold another round of talks with the armed opposition and governmental representatives. In November, we adopted a joint statement of Russian and U.S. presidents in Sochi. On the 22nd of November, we had a trilateral meeting between the Russian, Turkish, and Iranian presidents. And as the objectives to eliminate the terrorist threat has been fulfilled, to a large extent, we've decided to focus on the things which should be settled in order to give a necessary impetus to the political process. All that gives us grounds to move forward the agenda of political settlement, and that is the priority of our talks and the talks we've just had. I would like to assure everyone, because there are some who still doubt, for some reason, that, as President of Russia has said many times, we would like to see a full compliance with the 2254 resolution of the United Nations Council. Due to the unsatisfactory level of Syrian talks in Geneva, we decided to discuss the steps which might be needed to have a more successful round next time, when Stefan de Mistura decides to organize it, so that it would be a positive contribution to the direct dialogue between the government and the opposition of Syria. Also, we briefed together with Mr. Shoigu all matters relating to Russian initiatives supported by Iran and Turkey to hold in Sochi a Congress of Social National Dialogue. Just as the Astana platform, the preparations for the Congress in Sochi is meant to facilitate the work to comply with the UN Security Council Resolution 2454 under the auspices of the United Nations. We also touched upon the Syrian humanitarian situation, taking account the Eastern Ghouta, Raqqa, Deir ez-Zor areas, as we both think that we need to build up the humanitarian support for the people of Syria, delivering the aid and support in reconstructing the infrastructure without any politicizing, without any shift of focus or interest of some countries, without any conflicts or exaggeration of tragedies, artificially staged tragedies, without any external influence or imposition of will or agenda of any other external player. We should be guided by the international humanitarian law. We should be unbiased. We should be frank and objective, and I hope and I'm sure that my colleagues will be guided by these very principles. I mean the coordination of humanitarian support and aid delivery. Today we also talked about the need to step up the efforts of the United Nations in aligning and coordinating the arrangements of the participation of it in the demining process. So far, the efforts of the United Nations has not been demonstrated or visible, and that is wrong, as we see, because when we speak about the humanitarian situation in Syria, any unilateral sanctions on Syria should be lifted, sanctions imposed by some Western states, which have a very negative effect on ordinary people of Syria. It was a very useful conversation, I should say. We understand that Russia and the United Nations, Iran and Turkey have common goals in that way, and these goals, I would like to reiterate this, are to comply comprehensively with Resolution 2254 under the auspices of the United Nations. And I mean the creation of a new constitution, all the preparations on the basis of that constitution for general elections under the control and monitoring of the United Nations. We agreed to compare notes further on and coordinate our steps on the way, both in terms of the developments in the political field and on the ground. Thank you.
This was the UN Special Envoy, Stefan de Mistura, in Moscow Thursday.
Yes, it was a very concrete discussion, very frank discussion, and it was also high time because we are at the end of the year when many things have been happening, and we hope the more progress and better progress will take place on the political process as well. I am planning to go to Astana just after. I just came from Washington and I'm on my way to Astana today, this evening. My main focus, apart from the being aware of what have been the discussions in Astana, will be the seeing some type of progress on the detainee issue. Regarding the political process, I informed both ministers that is true. The last Geneva meeting was not a good meeting. The atmosphere was not the right one. And I'm counting on the assistance of everyone, including the Russian Federation, to make sure that the next meeting can be better. And I'm planning to convene it in towards the last 2 weeks of January so that we can better prepare it, perhaps, but also make sure that, as you rightly said, the focus will be 2254 in its own entirety, but with a special focus on the Constitution and on elections. Regarding the humanitarian situation, we are concerned like you are, and I think there was a good moment at the Security Council when I was there the other day, that there was almost a unanimous type of feeling that there is a moment when the Security Council can actually work together to ensure that the Syrian people are reached by humanitarian aid. So we have some homework to be done between now and January. But this meeting, as a regular meeting, but in this case with an exceptional type of the focus, has been helpful to me in order to brief the Secretary General on the next steps to move. So thank you very much.
Lavrov and de Mistura then took questions from the media.
RT, please. Good day. Mr. Lavrov, after the victory of our terrorists in Syria, we still see tensions over the fourth de-escalation zone in Idlib due to large amassment of Jabhat al-Nusra fighters. Well, you, as one of the figurators, do you have any plans to decrease the tensions or to settle that problem in the de-escalation zone? And do you have on the agenda the question of giving the control over the escalation zone to the Syrian army? Mr. de Mistura, question for you. You said that you are to convene new meetings in Geneva. So official Damascus already said that they support decision to meet in Sochi, and the opposition is still silent. When you met with them, did you discuss that? And what kind of achievements have you unveiled today? As for the fourth escalation zone in Idlib, certainly our aim is to decrease the tensions. That's the idea of the de-escalation zone, as it is. We've been working in that zone, in other areas, together with our partners. This time we work with Iran and Turkey. As we guarantors, and we have agreed on the modalities for the operation of these zones, including the observation points and control, passport control points, supported by the military personnel of our countries. This one is probably the most complicated zone, because there we still see the presence of Jabhat al-Nusra fighters. With them we conduct certain process of that to put an end to their hostile acts if they do not comply with the arrangements of the guarantors. If the situation is unstable, then the military of the three countries would coordinate the necessary measures to put an end to these hostile and several acts of them. As for the future de-escalation, for the future of de-escalation zones, these are not permanent zones. They are existent for 6 months. It can be prolonged afterwards. It's up to our military colleagues in coordination with their counterparts from Iran and Turkey. But in parallel to that, I mean, to put an end to any hostilities and any hostile acts, the de-escalation zones are meant to be the route for a national dialogue in Syria, national reconciliation. Because we want to first coordinate practical and pragmatic contact between the local authorities within the zones and then federal authorities. Matters relating to the delivery of humanitarian aid, free movement of people inside and outside of the zones and return to home. Also includes all this process of national dialogue and reconciliation, which we want to facilitate, and we support the Syrian government on that track.
В конечном счете станет общенациональным, чтобы это произошло.
All Syrian dialogue, all Syrian process, and this is why we, with the support of Turkey and Iran, we decided to hold a Syrian National Dialogue Congress in Sochi. As I said, we briefed Staffan de Mistura on that, as well as his colleagues, on what kind of work we do. And just next day, tomorrow in Astana, the parties are to discuss the concrete steps to be taken, who is going to be invited to that Congress, what organization will be able to participate, and in the statement agreed upon in Sochi sets forth that the countries will coordinate the list of the invited parties, and we can confirm that all members of the parties of the Geneva process are welcome to come to the Congress. So while we see the political process developing with the support of the Congress and as a contribution to the Geneva talks, we will be seeing more and more steadfast compliance to the 2254 resolution on the reinstatement of Syrian integrity and territorial independence. Completeness. Thank you.
To reply to the point that you mentioned, no, we did not have in Geneva discussion about Sochi between the opposition and the government or with me at this stage. Today I was briefed once even more in detail about what are the plans, but I'm not making any further comments because I have to consult the Secretary General on this. What I can tell you is that let's go one step by time. And the next step in front of us, apart from Astana today and tomorrow, which, as you know, is focused on particularly de-escalation and hopefully also on the issue of detainees and the mining, The next would be the Geneva meeting, which we are planning to have. And that would be an important moment to actually see where we stand on the possibilities of future political process.
Meanwhile, in Astana, this was the special representative of Russia's president to Syria, Alexander Lavrentiev, as he delivered a progress report to the media about the eighth session of those talks, which will apparently be attended by Mr. De Mistura on Friday.
We will also meet the UN Secretary General Special Envoy, Mr. De Mistura. He had a talk with Mr. Lavrov in Moscow today. We would like to inform Mr. De Mistura of the steps that have been taken here in Astana during the peace process in Astana, and to discuss with him the efforts that we will take jointly in order to hold this important event, the Syrian National Dialogue Congress in Sochi. I think it would be too early to speak of the tasks we would like to accomplish, the goals we would like to accomplish during this upcoming event. But the main goal, the main aim is simple. We would like to create a platform for the representatives of everyone from Syria and to try to solve this important issue of political settlement, which has seen no progress in Geneva. As you know, the latest meeting in Geneva did not yield any serious results. But I'd like to underline once again that we see the Syrian National Congress as an event to support the inclusive Syrian peace process under the aegis of the UN in Geneva. That is why we hope that this will be a great contribution to the Astana process, so that we could find a way out of the Syrian crisis. Now I'm ready to answer your questions.
The US doesn't want to leave Syria, you know, after the terrorists have been defeated. They've seen a new strategy presented, the new national strategy of the United Nations, of the United States. They say that Russia and China are the key threats to the national security of the United States. How can you comment on that? Because these things, they certainly have an impact on the situation.
Thank you for your question. First of all, I'd like to say that we are grateful to our American counterparts, colleagues, for their contribution to the fight against ISIS in Syria, to the elimination of ISIS in Syria. The US acted together with the Russian military and contributed to the elimination of ISIS in Syria and to the actions against ISIS in Iraq. But I'd like to underline that the task of eliminating ISIS in Syria has been achieved, the goal has been achieved, and we believe there is no need for the US forces to remain in Syria. So any reasons that the American quote right now to justify their military presence in, for example, in Atanf, on the Syria-Iraqi border, where the U.S. forces remain, justifying this by saying that this allows them to protect a camp of Syrian refugees, which is situated in the zone of their activities. Well, we believe these are just there is no grounds for them to remain there. The U.S. continued to say that they are still present to resolve humanitarian issues, that in the north, in the Kurdish regions, further bloodshed needs to be prevented, and the fight against ISIS needs to be continued. But these are all just words, just attempts to justify the continuing presence in Syria. We believe that there is no legitimate justification for their presence in Syria.
Arti, just to clarify, so say there will be a Congress in Sochi, and do you already know that there are certain members to participate? Because still there are differences of view between the Kurdish and other groups of opposition.
As for the date of the National Dialogue Congress, I cannot say that right now. We'll see at the decisions taken by the three countries. We have a number of options, as I've said before. So I believe that the decision will be finalized tomorrow. We believe that before the forum is held, we will see some more, another meeting in order for the three countries to prepare for the Congress. As for the list of participants, the process of finalizing this list will continue. We have agreed to conclude this process in the span of 2 to 3 weeks. And to finalize the specific persons, both from Turkey and from Iran, I believe that this will allow us to hold the Congress early next year.
And just to follow up, can you say, please, what about the participation of the United Nations? Will they participate in the work of the Congress?
We hope that the UN delegation will take part in the Congress, because we do not see any other way to hold such an event. It can only be held under the aegis of the UN, because all the countries are members of the UN, and we hope that the UN representatives will not only participate in the Congress as observers. I hope that they will take part in the Congress, and we hope that the event will take place under the aegis of the UN. We will talk about that with Mr. de Mistura tomorrow,
so that
the UN is represented at the event.
Regarding the de-escalation zone, do you think it's necessary to increase the number or enhance the participation level?
No. The de-escalation zones have been defined some time ago. The four de-escalation zones will remain as is. Our main goal right now is to stabilize the situation for good and to maintain ceasefire, to prevent all kinds of provocations, and to make it so that as fewer people as possible continue to suffer and die due to military clashes that still take place. Another goal is to, of course, to solve the humanitarian issue and to provide the population with everything they require to live.
And what about the documents on the working groups? When will it be signed? Or can you give any details?
Well, you know, this document is still being discussed and developed. We hope that a work group like that will be created as soon as possible. there is an objective need in creating such a group because we need to improve trust between the parties. But this is a two-way road, a two-way street, because apart from the steps from the central government, we expect some steps on part of the opposition, which is placing all the responsibility on Damascus.
As you know, the results achieved in Astana are more substantial than the results achieved in Geneva over the course of 4 years. So will Astana be decisive in the political process? And after the Astana 3, the third round, it is possible, you said, so maybe it's possible to discuss the political process right there.
You know, the number of rounds of discussions is almost as many as in Geneva. As you know, Geneva has also held the eighth round of discussions, but this is not a competition. Astana, since the very start, was designed as a platform where we will be able to solve the ceasefire issues, where we'll be able to find mutually acceptable options for decreasing the armed hostilities. And this is something we succeeded in because we created the de-escalation zones. Well, as for Geneva, over the year we have seen the difficulties that the Geneva process faces. We've seen how difficult it was for the parties to find any agreement to even launch any direct talks, which still hasn't happened. What we've seen over in the last Geneva talks was that the opposition delegation, well, this time more united than before, still had some preconditions to remove the central government, Bashar al-Assad's government, and it has done this at the result of the Riyadh conference, and this was expressed in a quite humiliating manner towards the central Syrian government. And you know the terms they used to address the Syrian government. So what were they expecting? What was the opposition expecting when expressing opinions like that? Did they expect any kind of constructive dialogue? Of course. It ended the same way as it started, so there was no progress. Once again, we have talked about this today during our consultations with our Iranian and Turkish partners. We need to make it so that there are no preconditions. There can be no preconditions for the talks. If anyone wants to discuss the political settlement issue, they need to forget all the grievances, any grievances they've had before. We understand that this is a very difficult thing to do because the level of mutual distrust is extremely high, and sometimes it's just over the top, but still it needs to be overcome if we want to see any progress in this direction.
That's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.